Love. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's
Dr. Bruce.
Lauren, you got to sit in here. You can't leave.
Harassing.
I swear to Christ. All right. Hey, Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce, board-certified physician. Lauren, you can't go anywhere. Go sit down. Thank you. Board, I made this decree like 4 years ago. Could we please have people walk? Stop having people walk in and out of the studio when the show's on.
I take you seriously. I know you're.
Thank you.
You don't fool around when you make a decree.
Thank you. Now we got to turn Bruce up. Machen Amick is here tonight. She is from ER as well as Jake in Progress. But Jake in Progress is just reoccurring two episodes.
Yeah, first two episodes.
What is the definition of a reoccurring role? You're not a series regular, but
you
pop up.
Yeah, series regular pretty much means that you get paid a lot less money. No.
Yeah.
No, it just means that you come on and you're a guest for however many days.
Are you Blackie's girlfriend?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I had to kick it off right.
He's hot.
He's hot.
Yeah, he's nice. I've met him. Met him a few times. Yeah.
Is Blackie?
Well, Blackie, no, not in a derogatory way, but. He was in, like, I don't know, the sunsets in the ocean or something. What was he on?
I don't remember.
General Hospital.
All My Children. All My Children.
Started off in the soaps, like you, Bruce. Yeah, you guys went the same route in life. Come on.
Just like
you were discovered at SC. You did that calendar. And then you went right into soaps.
And then
you went into gay porn.
I was a doctor.
Then you started making believe you're a doctor.
That was
then
the
you
best
went to
role.
Mexico and you came home with your degree and here you are today.
I did a soap as well.
Oh, you did?
Yes, it was one of the first things I did. I was just supposed to be a girl in a party at Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
I was 16, and they gave me one line, and I embellished.
Oh, really? You ran with it?
I was just supposed to say, "Hi, you look nice."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Hi, you look nice. What a great dress. Where are the drinks?"
And they kept you on?
And they kept it on, but they came running up to me right after and said, "You know we're not going to pay you for those lines."
Oh, yeah, because you went over five.
Yeah,
they got to bump you up if you go over five.
Really?
Yeah. They try to keep you under five. I'm going to see if I can do that with you tonight. Bruce.
All right.
Yeah.
You're abusive, Adam.
You get $70. You go, you're at four. No more now. All right, buddy. Now, Bruce is a dear, dear friend. And let me say this about Bruce. Twice the doctor Dr. Drew is. I know people are horrified and disappointed when they come in and see Bruce in here sitting in where Dr. Drew normally sits. But
ecstatic, by the way.
He's an addiction medicine specialist. He's a tattoo removal specialist.
Nice.
You guys can talk during the commercial.
Nice.
He can do anything with a laser. And you're beautiful. You're born beautiful. You have no worries. But some of the ladies that weren't touched by the hand of God, like yourself, do need to use Bruce's service with the laser. Also, what else? Emergency medicine.
And internal medicine.
I
am board certified. But I can never watch ER because I'd start to watch it and I'd start getting nervous and want to do things. And it's like.
And would you look at it and go, "They're not doing it right"?
You know, that's probably the best show in terms of whoever the consultant is for that's really good.
Yeah.
And
the writers are physicians as well.
Yeah. Well, they are. I didn't know that. But I knew they had some consultants.
Bruce has spent many hours in the ER himself.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy.
That's Bruce sounding like he was like high on ether. I don't know when you were on, Drew. I mean, Bruce, but you sounded a little drunk there. Let's hear that again, Anderson. I think he may have been drunk.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy. Yeah, it's a little slurring of the speech. I'm not sure what that's all about.
All right. You may have just gotten to your own medicine cabinet. All right, what do we get? What are we going to talk about? ER, 10 o'clock, NBC Thursday nights, of course. And Bruce gives it a thumbs up.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy. Anderson's getting paid for doing that.
Just keeps getting funnier. Yeah. And all right, so how did, so what was your, it says here you're born in Reno, Nevada.
Yes.
And you started off as a... Did you always want to act or model or what did you want to do?
My father was a musician, so I fell in love with the arts. I was dancing and painting, and and I knew I wanted to do something like that. But it wasn't until high school in theater. I was a big moviegoer, a big movie fan, and it wasn't until high school in the theater that it just sort of caught on. And then at 14, I knew I needed to... get out.
Out of Reno.
Out of Reno.
They have theater in high school
at Reno?
Really?
We had a great theater teacher, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The hell was he hiding from over there in Reno? Reno is, well, I guess Reno's nice.
Is it nice? It's very nice. It's actually a very beautiful town, beautiful mountains right at the foot of Lake Tahoe.
Skiing's great up.
Skiing's beautiful.
Tahoe is beautiful. I just had bigger things
I needed to do.
Yeah. Tahoe is exquisite, by the way. That lake's got like 30 shades of blue.
Yep.
Get on that boat.
Have you heard the rumors that there are like these mystery canals that connect to the San Francisco Bay?
No.
People go missing.
Underwater.
People go missing in Lake Tahoe and show up in the San Francisco Bay. Those are the rumors.
But their corpses show up?
Yeah.
Divers go missing
in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. That whole spelunking thing when you're breathing air is... bad enough idea. Underwater.
Gotta be nuts.
Couldn't think of anything worse.
No.
Hey, how are we getting out of the cave? I thought you knew how we were getting out of the cave. That's fantastic. Fantastic. It's dark. I can't see. My flashlight's out of batteries. I got 8 seconds of oxygen left. Just enough time to take my knife out and scrawl my wife's name into the side of some coral. Fantastic. Hey, it's a good time, though, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And I always like when they do... He died doing what he loved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Nice.
I don't think he loved it at the time he's running out of oxygen, though.
No.
I'm guessing that wasn't his favorite thing.
No.
I think napping would have been better than that at that point.
Sitting on the shore.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go underwater cave exploring. Drew? I mean, Bruce? I keep calling you Drew. Well, it's possible.
Where is Drew?
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy.
I don't know where the hell he is. Right. He's out there chasing a nickel somewhere.
Where's Dr. Drew?
You ready to... I promise I'll only call you Drew 8 more times before the show is out.
If you call me 9 more times, you have to pay me.
And then you get paid more.
Kristen?
Hello?
You're 22?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Kristen, are you awake?
This is going to be a bad
show. It's a bad night. How about
it's going to be a bad show.
You want to try Kristen?
Well, we should just pack it in. Here, let me tell you what I've learned. Let me tell you what I've learned in life. I've learned that you get a pretty... It's like... Everything's just pretty much like a first date. But you get a pretty good idea where things are heading the first 15, 20 minutes. It's like a movie.
Right.
You go and you sit down. You get about 10, 15 minutes into it, and you go, this is a dud.
Yeah.
We should all just pick up and leave at that point.
That's right.
All right.
Never regret that.
Yeah. So. And we've had some good shows. There's no doubt. This just isn't one of them. And
clearly.
Machen, it's not your fault. It has nothing to do.
I think I scared her.
It's nothing to do with you. We stumbled a little out of the gates.
Got some bad karma going tonight.
I think we can get it together, though.
Okay.
Well, I think we can kind of rally a little bit.
Should we try Christy on line two, maybe?
All right. Let's see. Let's see if we can recover. I'm guessing not. Christy?
Yes. Oh, hello.
You're 18. Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
What is up?
I'm so happy to talk to you guys. I'm so nervous.
That's all right.
Okay. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. My boyfriend and I have been having sex for about 10 months. Mm-hmm. We have sex probably anywhere between 5 to 7 days a week. We do a lot of different things. We experiment with a lot of different things. But sometimes, like, there will be, like, a week out of the month where he says he can't feel it.
Mm.
It's not like... He can't feel how tight I am or how warm I am. He doesn't get any pleasure from it. So then he goes limp. And
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 21.
Yeah.
Do you guys use any chemicals or drink?
No. Any of that? No. I don't know. Neither one of us. Well, he drinks a little bit, but not...
Nothing that would cause that kind of a problem.
Yeah, well, look, there's no amount of booze that can cause that problem for like a 20-year-old
guy. A little limp factor.
I guess it depends on how much he's not feeling, because I know, you know, once a month with women's cycles that if you're ovulating, you'll get, you know, wetter or looser, and so maybe that might be changing his feeling.
Looser as well? Is there clinical data to support
hormones
that?
Hormones are going to affect the,
really?
The mucosa, probably something with muscle tension.
Really? All right.
Got to get a calendar and work that out.
It's not only that he can't feel it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a little graphic, and I don't know if this is valid or not. Yeah, but, like,
his
balls don't hang how they normally hang. Uh-huh. They're more up close to his body.
Uh-huh.
Well, we could do a study. I'm not familiar with the previous study on this. Now, what about pain? Have you inflicted any pain on his...
No,
his genitals?
Like, I don't know. Like,
no, I mean, if he can't feel pleasure, does he feel pain? Is there any diminution?
Yeah. Well, next time, put a cigarette out on it. See what happens. That's what my deal.
We try things, but I don't think that'll be one.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on. Let's talk amongst ourselves for a second. There is this thing, if you lose your erection or anything starts going wrong in anything, not just sexually, where you almost sort of lose sensation of things. You know, uh-huh. There's a numbing feeling. I don't know if it's nerves. I don't know how it works. I'm not sure what goes on physiologically. But there is a sort of numbing sensation that people have when they're nervous or there's anxiety. But he's been with her for a long time.
Right.
And so I don't know if that's a factor. I mean, you usually think either the guy has a physical problem or he's anxious or there's some sort of substance involved.
And
right.
It's happening in a... It's happening once a month, I think she said. So it's like it's a cycle to it.
Right.
Well, Machen's still playing the Menzies card.
No, I'm saying it could be him. It could be him with the cycle.
Oh, interesting.
Could be something going on with him.
Christy?
With
the cycle.
Yeah.
And then is that it for the evening when he loses his sensation?
No, he gets really frustrated about it, but he still wants to get me off.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Gives you a little oral sex.
Good boy.
More finger than oral.
I see. Huh. See, chivalry is not dead. A lot of guys, people say today's man loses his boner and he packs it in, but not Sir Walter Raleigh. He throws a digit at her. I'll tell you, he's old school.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
So Chris, I see him as like wearing a cape and a top hat, maybe throwing his jacket down in a puddle. Yeah. You know, she's getting into the chariot.
It's interesting you're getting those images. We may need to talk about that.
Yeah. No, he's old school, this guy. Christy?
Yeah.
All right. So it just sounds like... I don't know that there is a problem here. There's just something that occurs on occasion.
There's a real mind body connection with sex, and that's obviously what happens when somebody loses an erection from anxiety over performance. Now, in that case, that Christy's boyfriend has, maybe he's got a real strong mind body connection, and as he starts to get anxious, he loses sensation along with his.
All right, I just wonder about this guy's emotional construct. He has a little tantrum when
he
loses his boner. Yeah, what's up with him? What's he into?
Yeah, he does get
I don't trust him. What's he into?
Music, school.
What kind of music?
He's a little rocker. He plays the drums and the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the piano when he's
in the movie. Is he a sensitive guy? Is he like a mama's boy? Does his parents pay too much attention to him?
No, I wouldn't. No.
Okay. All right. What, does he like sports?
He used to do soccer in high school.
Oh, soccer, please.
Yeah.
That's not a sport.
That's a stoner sport.
No, that doesn't count. All right. I've labeled this a problem that you guys probably can't fix, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's like a car that overheats every 200 miles. So you pull over, you let it cool off, you keep driving.
Oh, well, it sounds like it might be anxiety related. He's losing his erection. He may have the perception of decreased sensitivity
that cares?
Accompanies that. So,
like, if it keeps happening and it's more frequent, maybe he should go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Christina? We just talked to Christy. Christina?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. About a week ago, my boyfriend and I had sex, and I started my period during that time, or what I thought was my period, and then about 2 days, I stopped.
Hold on. I don't want more vagina talk.
No, this gets good. This is penis. It goes to the male genitalia.
I talked about a guy's dick for the last 20 minutes.
This is an interesting answer to the question.
No, I want to talk about pierced nipples. Rhea? Please, I have my dignity.
I'm not surprised.
Rhea?
Yeah.
Come on. I have a little variety, would you, Bruce?
Okay.
Jesus. Rhea?
Yes, hi.
You're 19. What's up?
I have both my nipples pierced, and I was wondering if there's any side effects or I have to worry about getting a better chance of cancer.
Yeah, areola cancer goes up tenfold when he gets your nipples pierced.
No, they're not.
That's what took my mom and my grandma.
Probably the biggest risk.
Runs in the family.
Probably the biggest risk would be.
I have to get screened every 6 months.
Have I had my five words already? Is that the reason you're interrupting me every time I try and talk?
Yes, but how old was your grandmother when she got her nipples pierced?
She was 11.
Ah, nice.
She was young. It was a different time.
You know, by asking him questions when he deviates, you're encouraging.
Yeah, you're only encouraging
deviation.
Listen, Bruce, quiet down. Okay. I'll do talk around here. Rhea.
Yes.
What's wrong with you with these nipples you've got pierced? Nobody likes that. Who are you angry at? What's going on?
Well, a lot of guys like it.
No, they don't.
Well,
they don't. They like what it says, but they don't like it. You know, it just says you're sort of open for business. They don't physically
really
like the way it looks. It's just like, all right, she's a goer. Mm. She's good.
Rhea, I don't agree with Adam, but he really doesn't care if I disagree.
Okay, let's put it this way. If you met, you're going to have to use your imagination here, Bruce.
I'll try.
You met a girl at a bar, just stay with me.
Okay, I'm trying.
And you took her home.
Yeah.
And you guys were getting a little something going on the sofa, and all of a sudden the shirt came off, and you saw the pierced nipples. You know you're in for a good night. You know what I mean? You're going to keep going. She's not going to stop at second base. You see, Machen, back me up here.
Okay.
You're going to see those pierced nipples, and you know you're going to keep rolling. The night's going to keep rolling
on. It's an advertisement that she's a little freaky.
Yeah.
All right. I might get anxious that she's a little freaky and then get...
Well, you would lose your erection. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, we're assuming that. Okay.
Or more likely scenario, the premature ejaculation. But the point is... To me, you know, I think women say, like, oh, yeah, guys dig the pierced nipples. Mm-hmm. I don't really think guys dig them in a vacuum, but they dig what they stand for, which is good to go.
Right.
But I think the question is, why did the woman get them? Is it representing some sort of a wild streak or past abuse? I mean, you know, there are various reasons that people pierce themselves.
Yeah.
It's a fashion statement in some cases today.
It's a combo. It's stepdad kicked me around a little. Now I'm taking control of my body.
Yeah.
That's one. Number two, I'm a little bit angry. C or three, you know, kiss my ass to the man. And then four, I'm wild. I'm open for business.
Well, you know, somebody starts going out with a guy that seems to be a little wild. And they want to let them know they're a little wild. I think some women get them
for
extraneous reasons. Yeah.
No.
Sometimes.
No. Never. Okay. Never happened. Rhea?
Yeah.
So, Rhea,
they're
no one.
No, she's angry.
No,
because,
she wants an answer.
She hates
question.
Her dad. Where's your dad?
I'm still in his life.
Yeah.
I don't live with him, but I live on my own, so.
Do you like your dad?
I do.
Really? Does he know about your pierced nipples?
Oh, no. Not at all.
Good. And did you have a guy that boyfriend that got you to pierce your nipples?
No, not at all. I was just with another friend, and I just thought it would be a crazy thing to do. And I'm not like a slut, but
too late.
But you're not like a slut, but.
Well, they should have clamp-ons for nipples for people that just do it in a sort of whim type.
They
way.
They have stuff like
they
that.
They do.
What if you decide you don't want nipple piercing?
My
would it just heal?
Take them out.
Yeah. Take them out.
Heals? Yeah.
Right.
See, that's another question, too, is what about when I have kids, if I take them out?
That's a good question.
No, that's general. Yes, you're able to breastfeed. The biggest risk is probably right after you get them, the risk of infection. But it's, you know, if you go to a qualified piercer, you have a very low risk of infections and problems.
Yeah.
It's going to somebody that's learning the trade in their garage, doing some early
free treatments.
You
don't want to go to nipple piercing college like I used to go to get my hair cut over at the haircutting college.
You got somebody that's...
Yeah, you don't want to monkey with that. I wonder how many nipple piercings a year there are in this country.
Oh.
What do you think, Machen? Oh. You got a number?
I have no idea.
I heard 25% of the population has a tattoo right now.
Really?
Yeah. Don't ask me where I heard that.
No, now is it 25%? Is it this number? I know you said what you said, but could it be that, like, if I had three tattoos, it counts as three?
No.
Do they tally them up, or it's just 25% of the populace of this country has a tat?
That's, yeah. And
Do you have any idea? Is it just coasts? Is it the whole country?
The whole country. Well, you know, what's her name? Rhea's in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah.
We should ask. I wonder if there's more deviance involved in piercings and tattoos in the Midwest. I doubt it. I think it's just... like a fashion statement, a tattoo. I mean, how?
Yeah. All right. I 25%.
Yeah.
Rhea?
Yeah.
Do you have any tats?
No, I want one, though. But I just can't spend the money on it.
What are you going to get if you do get one?
A black star.
Black star.
What's that represent?
For me, Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm. I just like the nautical star.
Physical star. I thought you meant like Denzel Washington.
Oh, no.
Black star.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be funny if you had, like, Washington from Welcome Back, Carter. You know, Black Star.
That's an oblique reference. Who, how many of these people
are black guys? It's a star. Still a star.
What percentage
of your... definitely a star.
What percentage of your friends have tattoos?
Oh, please, she doesn't know.
I have no idea.
Oh, yes, you do.
No?
100%, probably 25, like you guys were saying.
Okay. All right, just kissing Bruce's ass. All right, baby doll, you save up for that black star.
I will.
Yeah, Mr. T would be a good one. I mean, you know, kind of a throwback black star. Trying to think of a more current one besides, I guess, Oprah.
Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, I got Samuel. Mm-hmm. Samuel Jackson. There's probably a bunch of them. Lou Rawls. That'd be a nice old school one. Hey, who's that? That's Lou Rawls. Black star. Yeah, awesome. I'm with you, Rhea. Yeah. Okay. We got to keep moving. I want to talk to Sarah. Sarah's boyfriend disappears for months at a time. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
Hold on. Engineer Chris, you know who Lou Rawls is?
No.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Sarah answered for Engineer Chris. Chris?
No.
No. Good.
She was right, though.
All right.
Huh?
Wow.
You'll never find boom, 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 boom. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I was friends with him for about 5 years, and we started talking more, and we feelings came out. Told him, I was interested in him, and
he told me. Talking about Lou Rawls, or you talking about your boyfriend? Boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking about your boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anyway, feelings came out and everything. We started talking, and we made plans to, go places. Then, all of a sudden, things started coming up every time. And then, then we told each other we loved each other, all the good mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we made more plans, and he didn't show up again.
Mm-hmm. And then, what do you mean he didn't show up? Where is he?
Well, supposedly he's a truck driver, but I'm like, I don't really trust him no more,
Yeah.
I'm like, he just... I don't know.
It's bad when you're bragging about being a truck driver,
I know.
Go airline pilot if you're trying to just get a little ass and you're going to be blowing in and out of town. Go driving a rig.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, he claims he's a truck driver, but I suspect the worst.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's bad because there's only homeless now. Now you go to drifter. You go truck driver, drifter. And then hobo who rides the rails. Like, what's, is there anything below truck driver beside engineer? Sorry, buddy. Sorry, Chris. Sarah?
Yeah.
All right, so he claims to be a truck. What'd you do, meet him?
Well,
you said you met him. He's a friend. What?
I worked with him, and then, I don't know, we just friends for a while, just, distant friends, and we just got closer after a while. And then, we just, I wouldn't, like, we were, like, he was really, damn it, I can't get the words out.
Well, where did you work with him?
Was a city, government.
You work
for a city.
Like undercover stuff, like alias
of
stuff?
No, just like a local city.
But you guys were packing, right? I mean, doing a lot of rappelling, a lot of special ops stuff.
Yeah, sure.
He was a demolition man. They called her the Face Girl. She would infiltrate. Oh, yeah, through knives,
like
too.
New sitcom for you.
Yeah, sitcom. Oh, 1 hour drama. How dare you?
So, now is this the guy you were sleeping with, Sarah?
Well, no, we got intimate only 3 times, and then he disappeared on me, and then he's like, well, I needed, people started saying things about him. He's doing this, he's doing that, and I would get pissed, and I would tell him because I'm not going to just sit there and just think about it.
All right, Sarah, this is not your boyfriend. It's just a joker guy who's, looking to have a little fun and some kicks and to have a little sex. He's not your boyfriend.
Storm. Yeah, truck driver, I unfortunately probably has a few other gals on the line like you in different cities.
Yeah.
A couple of truck drivers
maybe,
I knew.
Maybe even bigger than you.
And they're proud of that. I mean,
he's what you call a rambling man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a ramble.
And not ready to settle down.
No.
Is that when he disappears, though, is when he goes on the road driving?
Well, yeah, no, he... supposedly disappeared like for like 4 months on me, and he told me he needed time to think, and I'm like, yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm guessing Sarah went and did her finishing school in Geneva. Do you have any thoughts about where Sarah went?
I think
went
this is where Florida,
school?
Germany.
Yeah,
I think Florida.
You think she did her finishing school in Florida? No, I got to believe it was abroad. You just don't get that
I'd
kind
say
of
Gulf Coast.
I'm being facetious.
Oh, sorry.
It's jokes, Geneva. All right, buddy. All right, I got to yell, Sarah.
Yeah.
You sound like a delicate little flower who's had one of her petals pulled off. I'm sure you are. This guy's not a good guy. Thank God he didn't get you pregnant. Do you have any kids?
No.
Wow, you sound like you should have some kids by now. That's a good thing. How about you just lay low a little, forget about this guy, not your boyfriend, find a guy who's going to be around, and everybody, forget about what guys say or forget about what you want, guys or girls, whatever the relationship. Machen, back me up here.
What?
It is the deeds and the acts that will decide what kind of relationship you have, not the words.
Absolutely.
And there's like, you know, we've all gotten a thing where it's like, you've never done it, Machen, but... someone's telling you why they can't go out with you for the fourth time, and it sounds like a really great reason, but you just sort of figure out if they're not going out, they're not going out. If they're into you, they're there. When you're into somebody, you're there. Am I right?
You're right.
You're 100% there. I don't care if there's a funeral. I don't care if there's a wedding. You get, boom, you go straight from the airport to their house.
Right.
You're there. When you're into it, you're there. It's like anything you're into. If you're into a band, you're there. If you're into a movie, you're there. If you're into a person, you're there. And if it just keeps going on where you haven't seen it, and you're not gonna, and you're not coming over, and it never works out, they're not into you.
Yep.
That's the way it works.
This is like leaving the movie early, right? You know from the beginning it's not going to be good.
That's
right. Get out of this.
Out.
Right.
All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back after this.
After the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Machen Amick is here tonight. She is from ER. Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, NBC. And also in Jake in Progress on ABC. Wait a minute. When does that air? Is that aired yet?
March 13th, okay. And then again March 17th is what I'm hearing.
I'm going to write that down because I've been seeing a lot of ads for it.
Yeah.
Stamos, I miss, you know, I'll tell you something. He's a good guy. Sorry about him and Rebecca Romaine. But she's nice, too. I think they just like to party a little too much. I think they're like swingers or something. They're a pretty out there couple. But, you know, I wonder if you get two people, you know what makes the best married couples is two people who don't like having fun anymore. You know, just like, oh, we're going to hang in. Yeah, we're going to rent a movie. Let's relax a little bit. Maybe raise some kids. I'll do some shopping. You work. You change the oil on the car. You get two people that are still really interested in having fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. It's not a good marriage.
You got to have fun together.
That's what everyone thinks, but it never seems to work out that way because so much of fun, especially celebrity dude fun, involves stuff that your wife would get pissed off about.
Yeah.
And I bet a fair amount of celebrity chick fun involves stuff that, and I'm not talking about sleeping with male strippers or anything, but I'm just talking about the kind of stuff that your husband really wouldn't want to sit around and watch kind of thing. If you're young, you're good looking, you have money.
Yeah. Equality is equality of whatever.
Thank you.
Women, men, celebrities.
Yeah. Anderson, put that on a cart because that was profound. I mean, that was awesome. You should really, you should write like fortune cookies.
Mm.
Yeah, what was
celebrities
that?
Can get in so much more trouble.
Yeah.
Than the average couple.
No, that's why.
You've got people throwing themselves at you constantly. Not me,
no,
personally.
No. But you have guys throwing themselves. Well, here's the whole thing. You're a beautiful woman. That's its own form of celebrity. So you don't really need celebrity. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's sort of like, it's an interesting thing, which is, Rebecca Romaine is a celebrity because she's a celebrity, and she's a celebrity because she's a beautiful woman, and either way has about the same draw on guys. It's marginally more, I would say, because of the fact that she's in movies, but not that much more. Whereas for Jack Black, it's a big plus.
See
what I'm saying?
For celebrity women, that it starts to intimidate men.
That's a possibility.
How to approach them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know what your status is. What is your status?
Married.
Married. How long have you been married?
Almost 18 years. Well, we've been together almost 18 years.
Almost 18 years?
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
You look very young.
Where'd you guys?
We met when I first
met
moved
the nursery.
Here to LA.
he was in the Lucite crib next
to
mine.
Yeah, he was my elementary school sweetheart. No, when I first moved to LA.
You first moved here, you met him.
Yeah.
And 18 years.
Yeah.
Wow. What's he do?
He's a singer, songwriter, producer, musician.
Lou Rawls.
He's Lou Rawls.
That's awesome. Oh, Lou.
I was very offended that you didn't know Lou Rawls.
No, but I knew when you jumped. Yeah. When I said Lou Rawls, uh-huh. Your eyes lit up.
Sorry yep. about that. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Amazing.
Hey, man, I'm as open-minded as the next guy. I think that's great. He's an older man. He's of color. I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. And I just want you to know there's no judgment going on here. Plus all the money he raises for Budweiser or whatever. It's awesome. That's a power couple. That's a Hollywood power couple right there. The children are going to be, well, it could really go a lot of different directions.
Yeah, yeah.
But they could definitely talented. The point is a beautiful woman. Your stock is probably not helped all that much by being on TV. It could actually complicate things a little bit. Whereas if you're a beautiful woman, and you worked as a greeter, server, whatever, at an upscale restaurant, you'd probably just probably just be easier than if you had your own TV series.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then you can have the guys that are average Joes that have women throwing themselves at them constantly just because they're a celebrity.
Right. Yeah.
Because it becomes attractive and alluring.
Yeah. Yeah. And for women, by the way, I think for women seeing a guy on TV, it's much more alluring than for man seeing a woman on TV.
Yeah, but what if I meet the woman, I don't know she's a celebrity, I don't watch TV.
They always say that, by the way.
Oh.
I didn't know what he did. I always liked that one. The chicks always do that when they're going out with the athletes.
Oh, well, that's...
It's always awesome. Karl Malone's wife, his nickname's the mailman. So it's been the mailman in Utah. She thought he was a mailman. So she always says that thing where she's like, I saw him at the mall. I thought he was a mailman. He was signing autographs for several thousand people. Yeah. He's the world's greatest mailman. Like, whether you knew what he did or not, you know he's 12 feet tall. He's got a diamond-encrusted semi-truck he drove in, and he's signing autographs for half
of
you.
Surrounded by an entourage of people.
Yeah, he's got a huge posse around him. He's signing autographs at the mall. Just a mail carrier? I mean, man, this guy must sort mail like nobody's business. Yeah. And boy, talk about a state, Utah, where they take their mail seriously. These guys are at malls signing autographs. I mean, we've never had that in California.
Oh.
You know, your mailman does a decent job, but he's not, you know.
But look at your celebrity. When you go somewhere with Adam, people stop him. No, autographs, pictures.
Surrounded.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
All those women throwing themselves at you?
It's
hard, isn't it?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, it seems funny to everybody, but...
make a card of that, Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Christina? All right. Let's talk to Jim, who's a big fan of Machen's. Jim?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, not much. Calling here from the Midwest, where it's about 110 degrees below zero.
Wow.
But that's all right.
All right.
I listen every night, and I flicked the show on, and I heard Machen Amick. Amick.
It's Amick.
Is Amick or Amick?
Amick.
Amick, long A's.
Okay. And I thought, wait a minute, this can't be true. So I had to call. By the way, hi, Adam, and hi, Dr. Bruce.
Hello, creepy guy. Why couldn't it be true, by the way?
Well, this is the... Well, I guess, Adam, I have a question for you. Are you Zephyr'd up right now, or is she there in person?
She's here in person.
All right, so she's probably, you know, sweatshirt and jeans and stuff, but is this woman making you melt at the knees like she normally does to people when they watch her on screen?
Yeah, I've joined their ranks. She's beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just covered that. Yeah. But she's been married for 18 years.
Well, you know, I kind of...
She met him when she was 5. She's pregnant at 7. It's very, very traditional.
Well, I kind of knew that. I saw Machen. What was it, Dream Lover with James Spader?
Yep.
I thought that was a very good flick, almost like an indie.
Yeah, it was.
And it almost seemed like it was based off of a play. It was like a two person movie, really, right?
Yeah. It was James Spader and my character. And it was written by Nick Kazan, who's Elia Kazan's son.
Oh, really?
Who knows Elia Kazan, yeah.
Well, Chris knows.
It wasn't a play, though. It was, he wrote it.
Big poster of Lou Rawls and Elia Kazan up on his
bedroom. Do you know who that is?
So it was a really cool movie. And basically, if you like James Spader or if you like Machen, and if it's out there, get it.
Jim, what is your story? I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but you sound lonely.
Well, he's got a good radio voice, don't you think?
He does. Smooth.
Yeah.
Well, I have other love line calls maybe for later dates. Like, I don't want to waste your time.
All right.
What do you do,
Jim? I'm interested in what you do.
Well, I'm a musician and an advertising writer.
Hmm.
So you take your pick. I used to be a professional musician.
What do you play?
For a living. I play drums and percussion.
So you do jingles now?
I used to do that stuff.
Yeah. Machen has a soft spot in her heart for musician, composer, songwriters. You know, she's married to Lou Rawls. I don't know if you've known about that. Boom, 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 boom.
Singing it.
I want to love you, so tender like I do.
Down the mic and pick those sticks up again, Jim. Got to get behind the kit, not up front.
Now it's coming to me.
He's no Phil Collins.
Now you know
the Rawls.
I'm looking at the drum stage now. I just got in from the recording studio, as a matter of fact, but just my own project, man. But then I became an advertising writer. Then I got laid off. Then my wife. I woke up one day and my wife was gone. She was gone off to Maryland.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
The
buddy.
Reason I'm calling actually is to ask Machen a question about, because kind of, and don't take this in the wrong way, but it's the right way, you kind of dropped off the radar for a while, and then suddenly you're big time on the radar with ER, and I call it ER.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got ER, and you've got Jake.
All right, that's enough. What about it? Well, it's a cyclical business, isn't it?
It is. I just did continue to do independent movies like Dreamlover, and some surface and do well, and some don't.
Yeah.
But I did other television shows as well.
Well, also, I think people don't watch everything all the time, so they don't currently see. So it's not the radar, it's their radar.
Their radar.
So it's like,
You're making me feel so much better.
Well, I got to do this. I'm trying to make myself feel better, too. But they do that thing where it's like, hey, what happened? Where are you? Because you're not on that channel I always watch. And it's like, well, I'm not on that channel. I'm on another channel. And they're like, oh, well, what's that channel? So oftentimes, and if you're on the cover of Life every week, they'll see you. But I just mean oftentimes people move around. People don't follow you, and they just assume you got hit by a train or something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Machen, though. She always lands on her feet.
That's right.
She's got a lot of fight in her, this lady. She's very proud.
I can tell that. Yeah.
I know. I can tell you're Scorpio, right? Yes?
No.
There's this Libra? Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Gemini? Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Taurus? Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Not
Taurus.
No. I love Taurus, though. My mother and my husband.
Oh, I know.
You knew that.
Shh, don't
are
say
you
it. No. Yeah, I, cancer. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. It's going to be the last one that you choose.
It may not be that one.
He doesn't know one from the other anyway.
I think I only know like 8 or 9.
Yeah, right. It isn't all.
Let's see. Capricorn. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. I'll give you hints.
No, don't give me hints.
No. Okay.
What do you mean? I don't need your charity. Obviously, I have a gift.
How about Orion?
Clearly.
Orion's. Oh, that's a star. Constellation.
That's a constellation.
All right. Quiet down. Shut Bruce's mic off, would you? And hit him with Orion's belt, would you please? Let's see. Capricorn. Pisces.
No.
Thank you. Yes?
No.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Not Pisces.
It's going to be the last one you pick.
No, I'm
it
telling
is.
You, it might even be
it
that
is.
One. Let's see. Gemini, Pisces, Libra, Capricorn. What is it?
Aquarius.
No, yes.
Sir.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Yes, Aquarius.
No, keep trying.
I run out.
Let me tell you something. I have done this. I used to do it on the Man Show all the time. I've done this bit hundreds of times. I'm uncanny on not being able to get someone's sign. And not being able to get someone's sign is just as hard, if not harder, than actually getting their sign. I argue I have more talent.
Wait to the last. Yeah. So it's a process of elimination.
It's not even the last. I run out. I know 11, and they're the 12th that I never even guess. Does it count?
I think you have guessed everything except mine.
Aren't there like
12
turtles humping? I don't know. Is there twins? It's Gemini. I'm out of them. I'm out. What are you?
You didn't guess Virgo, but that's
Virgo.
Yes. No, sir.
Virgo. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
All right. Now I'm out. What is it?
I'm gonna give you a hint.
Okay. Give me a hint. Yeah, give me a hint. But don't give me any of that. Like I'm feisty, but I have moments of reflection.
Half animal, half human.
Oh.
Carrying
Pegasus.
Carrying a bow. Archer.
Oh, the archer. Yeah. He's the centaur with the with the bow.
Yes.
It's Libra.
No.
No, it's Cancer.
Capricorn.
No.
Damn it! I don't know what I don't know what all that stuff is.
I get mixed up.
You know what I was thinking about? We got to take a break. What is it?
Sagittarius.
I knew it. I swear, I think I had it written down here. I mean,
you mentioned that to me before the show.
You have a feeling, you have a feeling. I don't want to call it a gift, but I'm going to go ahead and call it a gift.
Yeah,
Sagittarius, that's what I'm talking about. Only 14 guesses, too. I was thinking we'll talk about when we come back. I was giving some thought to a Pegasus and, you know, the flying horse. Yeah. So I was thinking about, you never seen one crap, but that would be a disaster. You know, like if you think about
it. Why? Would it be different?
I'll tell you why. Because a pigeon craps on your car and it ruins the windshield.
I see what you're saying.
Imagine a horse. I mean, a pigeon weighs like 11 ounces, a horse like 1,300 pounds.
Oh, you mean
They
fly.
They don't fly in groups, so it'd be one.
It'd be one.
It'd be okay.
But it would kill you. If it was not like, if there was a Pegasus and it was flying at like 9,000 feet. And it just took a big crap, it'd go right through your car roof and crush you.
It would freeze up there and then hit you.
It'd go through your neighbor's roof. You'd be getting into arguments. What? Your Pegasus crap? That wasn't my Pegasus. Yes, it was. I think I know my Pegasus crap. There'd be no fence could contain them because they're Pegasi.
That's true.
They'd fly everywhere and they'd be crapping. I mean, you see horses in a parade, then that's nonstop crap.
Well, that's why they're quarantined to the Enchanted Forest. They can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can't fly over cities because that would be a problem.
Yeah. It should be like the French plane that breaks its speed barrier. I'll get that in a second. But the point is a sonic boom. Can't fly into LAX, yeah? Yeah. All right, we're at Concord. Thank you.
What? It doesn't fly into LAX?
No.
Can't. New York, though.
It did, yeah. It did. It doesn't fly anywhere. But you can't come up to Concord, by the way, Bruce? No.
No.
Okay. Take a break. No, I can't. Sonic boom. Too loud. Noise problem.
But for New York?
Well, but what would you rather hear, the sonic boom or get hit with Pegasus crap?
Sonic boom.
Sonic boom, am I right?
Absolutely.
See, I would argue if I was like Air France. I go, Well, what about the Pegasus? I would do it that. Okay. let's take ourselves a break here. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. That's Machen Amick in here tonight.
Hello.
She is on ER as well as Jake in Progress, which I'm going to watch because I'm a big Stamos fan. All right, let's see if we can take a call and squeeze some in.
Germany, real quick.
Where's Dr. True?
Yeah, I saw something at all.
Yeah, I hate that kid.
No, I want to talk to Carrie over here. Carrie.
Hi.
19. Yeah.
Yeah,
your boyfriend cries after sex.
Yeah, I want to know if that's normal or, like, he cries after he comes and after he, like, ejaculates.
Oh, both. Oh, okay.
And I want to know if that's normal. He was the first guy I slept with, and it's been happening for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And he does it every time?
Yeah. We have sex, like, 2 times a day, and he does it all the time.
Man, this guy's losing a lot of fluid, a lot of tears, a lot of semen. twice a day, this guy's bawling his eyes out and his semen drained from his body.
Some people have emotional outbursts attached to the orgasm and post-orgasm. So I wouldn't say it's abnormal. I'd say it's unusual.
Yeah. Well, why don't you go ahead and ask him, Carrie?
Well, I keep on asking him, and he says it's none of my business. I'm like, well, hello.
No, he doesn't say it's none of your business. That's what you hear. He doesn't say it's none of your business. Look, listen, goofball. Either this is bogus or you're just hearing something that he's not saying. He's not saying it's none of your business. What does he say?
You know, he honestly tells me it's none of my business.
All right, well, then dump him.
Okay.
Well, no, seriously. This is a deal breaker. Obviously, the guy has issues. And if you say to your partner, why are you crying, when they cry twice a day when they're on top of you, and you say, what's the deal? And they go, it's none of your business. Dump them.
How old are they?
She's 19. She's 19. He's 71. Lou's cheating on you. Carrie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you depressed? Is there something wrong with you?
Yeah, a little.
Okay. Well, why don't you get some help for your depression and dump this guy? All right. Thanks, sweetie. Sound like a delight. We got to take a break. I ran too long on all my other segments. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Machen Amick is here tonight. She's from ER Thursday nights. NBC, 10 o'clock. And also Jake in Progress plays one of Jake's lady friends. Mm-hmm. First couple episodes, so you can enjoy her on that. And then it's right back to the Thursday nights at ER. What year are we in with ER? 11?
11.
Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Still going strong.
Yeah, is it...
still top 10.
I'm trying to think. That is that's an amazing run. How many episodes is that boil down to? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
I think it's 22 a season.
Right, so that's... 50,000 episodes.
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, they can syndicate now, you know. Let's talk to John, who's 23. He's going to do a little Germany or Florida with us. John?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
All right. 7-year-old girl starved to death by her parents, ate her own hair in a bid to stay alive. The girl also ate pieces of the carpet in the darkened bedroom where she was kept prisoner. Mm. She weighed just 21 pounds when she died. The family's well-fed cat weighed 10 pounds. Hmm. Doctors found that she had cut off some of her hair and eaten it. Hair had caught inside her intestines, causing her to vomit and choke, which was the final cause of death. The girl's mother and stepfather found her dead in her bed. Police say the couple lived on Social Security and spent their money on alcohol and cigarettes.
Hmm. Wow. Feels like Florida.
Florida.
To me. I mean, German, the hair eating and the sort of locked in the room has a little bit of a German vibe to it.
Alcohol and cigarettes.
Yeah, the alcohol and cigarettes and I think the welfare part, too, although he could have done a clever translation.
Well, European houses, the carpet's not edible, and, you know, the floors are mostly wood, so...
Yeah. Bruce is right. They use a different kind of fiber. They use a Dacron 5. Yeah. Over there, whereas we use the Dacron 3 and the Dacron
organic,
7.
Organic
yeah,
materials.
That's why everything in my house is made of hemp. In case I get
nutritious.
A wife locks me in the room, I can just go ahead and eat. Even the TV set's hemp. I actually eat my plasma. Which isn't a stretch, considering I've made love to my Tiva.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
I believe you.
Well,
and then I cried. And then I cried. I cried. I wept
openly.
And
then you disappear for a few months.
And then I'm on the run, then I ramble.
Yeah.
I gotta ramble.
So, John, is this a trick one, or is this...
No, he's not gonna tell you if it's a trick one.
No, I remember.
All right, so you're going... Hold on. Quiet down. You're going Florida?
Yes.
Bruce is going Florida.
I'm two for two. You're 0 for 2, the two shows I've done before. It's probably my last show, the way you're dealing with
it. No.
Yeah. Machen, what do you think?
He sounds, what, the
Germany
story?
Or Florida? What do you think?
Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
Can he be a descendant of Germany?
No.
Did this happen in Germany or did this happen in Florida?
Florida.
I'm going to go Germany just to mix it up, John.
Okay.
All right. And the answer is?
You are correct, Adam. It was Hamburg, Germany.
Yeah, well, see, that was a trick question.
You can get the country, but you can't get my son.
Listen,
I got your son. I just had to get through. You know what? It's like this. Here's what it is. It's like a pomegranate. I'm not going to eat the skin. I had to bust it open and flick out a little pulp, and then I get to the sweet,
the nice,
sweet, juicy berry that is your son.
All right.
All right? That's all. It's a pomegranate.
You guessed the opposite, and you got it right.
Yeah, well, I know that Dr. Bruce is practically cursed. So
I got the last two times right, and you got them wrong. But Social Security, that was a trick through that.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, John, thanks a lot, John.
John, what? How do you explain the Social Security part?
I swear to God, that came right out of the article. I didn't add it.
Well, you should have detracted. You should have eliminated it.
Well, it's their version of Social Security.
It would throw you off.
Okay.
Well, it's their version.
I can test this Germany.
Yeah, but you can't write an article and say they're on Munchen Deutschen. You're like, what's that mean?
So don't put in.
Just write Social Security.
It's
true.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You're a genius, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
You call anytime, buddy.
I will
call
do anytime. That.
All right, thank you. All right, now I want to talk to Jennifer.
Okay.
She's self-conscious about her stomach. Jennifer.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yeah.
What's the matter with your stomach?
Well, you know how everyone has, like, flat stomachs, and that's in?
No, that's just, well, it's actually Machen, but also, it's the people on TV.
Well, I feel like, people, they say I'm pretty skinny, but I feel like I have a really big stomach, and I'm really self-conscious about it.
Well, what does that mean, really, really big?
It's like, it sticks out further than, like, my chest. It's bigger than my hips.
Mm.
My waist is big.
Yeah. All right, and so what is your build? How tall are you?
5'9".
How much do you weigh?
150.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math.
I got to do a little radio math. 5'9", 150? Hold on a second. Radio math. I was talking to Drew about this last night. 1 times 4 is what?
4.
4. And then 1 times 7 is 4, or is that 7?
7.
Okay. So, see, 1 times something is just that something. You know what I'm saying?
Like except
1 times... Imagine.
It could be the 1.
1 times 1 is like 1. And then right. 1 times 5, it's not
that
1.
It's
still
it
5.
Yeah?
Yeah, and then 1 times... But it keeps going. Like 1 times 122?
Still
122? Yeah. Okay.
Profound.
So, she said 150, and she said 5'9", right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound bad.
And 3 and 4, 7. Okay. I got 5'7" and 33/64ths. Just a little bit
and
over half an inch. And I got 163.
I got
163. Yeah. 163. Where was she? All right, Jennifer. So according to my radio calculations, you could probably stand to lose a couple of pounds, and if you did that, then maybe the stomach would go with it.
Okay.
All right.
I really am 5'9 and 150, I swear.
But I did the radio math. You want me?
Okay.
I could crush these numbers again.
You're maybe 10 pounds over ideal body weight, so you're not obese.
Okay.
Actually, you know, a little bit of stomach is in right now with,
yeah.
You know, these voluptuous figures with Beyonce.
Well, I've done those things to figure out BMI, and it said I was normal weight.
Yeah, the guys complain, by the way? Have you had any complaints about your figure?
No.
Oh, well, maybe
but
this
I don't,
is just...
Like, I cover it up.
All right, do you have a man?
Not now.
Mm-hmm. And you're out shopping? You're looking for a boyfriend?
I guess.
What do you do?
I'm a student.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go?
I go to... community college.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And please, people, can we stop calling it community college and call it what it really is? Junior college. Junior college.
I went to a university, but I was doing bad because I'm depressed.
Oh, baby.
Why are you depressed?
What's up?
I don't know.
Okay. See.
All right. Everyone's depressed tonight.
Yeah.
Let's go, everybody. Let's get it together. You only go around once. You gotta have a good time.
Do you see a
you
therapist?
You don't know why you're depressed?
No, I was seeing a therapist, but it wasn't helping any.
Ooh,
this takes a little while. Years, even.
Are you on an antidepressant, or have you ever been?
Yeah, I'm on Remeron and Cymbalta.
Okay, so have you had any body...
What's Cymbalta?
I think
the hell's that come from? Like Nairobi?
Have you
Malta.
In talking
medicine man has to prescribe that.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's not a doctor.
In talking with a therapist, have you had any body image issues where they felt that you had a unrealistic view of what you looked like, or you know, some people feel like they're overweight or they have certain parts of their body that are inappropriately large or small and quite
Jennifer?
Yeah.
Is that you? Yeah?
They never said anything.
All right. Listen, Jennifer, I'm gonna give you my keys to happiness, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone's depressed, and people can't afford the shrink, and they don't want to go to the shrink, and there's stigma surrounding it and everything. Here's what everyone's got to do. First off, when you're depressed, you don't want to move. It zaps you of any energy. It just robs you. You're like a battery that's almost out, almost ready for the garbage can. You just are.
Right.
You have to sort of kick yourself to get yourself to move, but you have to do it, even if it's painful. First thing you have to do, you have to exercise. You have to, like, physically move. You have to go for a jog every day, or you have to go to the park and do some chin-ups or something like that. You have to sort of physically move, because part of the depression is just it just robs you of any movement.
The problem with that is true endogenous depression, when it is
true, yes.
Then as it gets more severe, you actually get to the point where you cannot physically get yourself up out of bed. I mean,
yes.
I've seen
everyone
that kind
listen
of clinical
to
depression.
Bruce and kill yourself.
No,
I agree.
No, that kind of clinical depression.
Yeah, of course, jackass.
It helps depression.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the 90% of people that are calling this show, not the 10% that are clinically, severely, you know, depressed as defined, you know, by a medical textbook. There's a lot of people that are sort of hovering in a place where they could go either way. They start drinking a few extra beers and watching an extra couple hours of TiVo a night, they will slide in the wrong direction. Certain amount of this stuff is chemical, certain amount of it is clinical, and there's nothing...
Let me just finish what I was going to say.
Please, go ahead.
You're going in the right direction, but
Thanks, genius.
With the exercise... especially for her to continue with therapy, to work with a therapist and a psychiatrist. And what happens too many times, you start a patient on a certain antidepressant or a combination, and if it doesn't work right away, or they give it a few weeks, then, didn't work, they quit going to therapy. It's the type of thing, exercise is a crucial part of...
No, it's not that big a deal. I'm not really even talking to her. I'm talking to all the jackasses that call this show. She's on two forms of meds. I mean, she's probably a little further gone than a lot of the people that listen to this show. I mean, you need to throw yourself on the mercy of your doctor and of your psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever. I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that are depressed and may not even know it. They don't even have a diagnosis. I'm saying you people have to get up in the morning, you have to do something. You have to find something that you want to do. You have to find something that flips your cookie a little bit.
Right.
And it'll be in surprising places. I say you got to put some headphones on, listen to some classical music, and take some long walks on a trail or in a park or something. It's a 50-50 chance you'll get raped, but if that doesn't happen, it's going to help the depression. You also need to start doing other things. Go volunteer somewhere. Go get a Catholic big brother or Jewish little sister or whatever the hell you got to do. Actually doing stuff for other people sort of pulls you out of it a little. And then find something you're into. Find a sport, find an activity, find people that share that activity. You got to sort of kick yourself and almost force yourself to live. Quiet, Bruce. I don't want to hear anything about that the people that are clinically depressed and need to be on meds. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy.
All right. Sheriff Bruce. Jose?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something about that Dr. Drew. You think Bruce is a piece of work. I had Drew in here last night. Drew, you know, makes an appearance every once in a while. It's awesome. Comes in, flashes this big pearly white. It's a little cameo. He had to leave at 11, but it was still great to see him back in the studio. He was, talking about his kids. Drew has the triplets. I think they're 12 now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was sort of jokingly saying, you're going to get you're going to drug test your kids. He was like, I think that's part of responsible parenting. And I'm like, you got to drug test your kid. If he starts effing up, his grades start slipping, he starts, you know, what happened? Hey, he urinated on the sofa and punched the nanny. Okay, let's test him for drugs. But you're not just going to start testing your kids for drugs.
Just randomly?
Just randomly. And he's like, oh, yeah.
He is not.
Oh yeah. If Chris was listening during last night.
Time to start listening, goddammit.
Yeah, there you go.
He looked pretty serious.
Oh, he was deadly serious.
He did.
And I said, Drew, you can't just test your kid. You know, his kids are great
can't
students.
Can't he tell, though, if they are actually?
Well, that's what I said. I said, by the way, I come in here on one Heineken, and your alarm bells are going off over your head. Who's been drinking? Has someone been drinking? I swear to God, he does. Like, poor Ann came in here one night. He's like, what's going on? Who's drinking? Someone's drinking. Ann's like, I had a glass of Chardonnay with dinner. Aha! It's like, that was three hours ago. Yeah, you can smell it. Yeah, I was like, Drew, you don't need to test your kids for drugs. You're going to know the day they take the drug. You will know that afternoon. If they got high at noon and they come home at 2:30, you're going to be like, who's been smoking pot? You've been smoking pot. This is like living with McGruff, the crime dog. Why test
it? Maybe he's just threatening them so they won't even try.
I don't think they're listening to Loveline.
No. Huh. He does feel, though... I tried to talk him out of it. I don't think I did. He feels that he needs to test his kids for drugs randomly, but not a preemptive strike. Not going to wait for him to F up. He's getting there first, and he believes in it wholeheartedly.
See, I think...
He's going nuts, by the way. No, Drew's going insane.
Have you talked to Drew lately?
He's going insane.
Take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin.
Yeah, you see? See, he does all that, but he doesn't want his kids to smoke a little reefer.
That's why he wants to drug test the kids.
Yeah.
Went high?
Yeah.
He's going to hire a canine or something.
Yeah. Bruce, what's going on with you? Bruce brought me a hookah pipe. You want to talk about that? No.
I confiscated that hookah.
Confiscated.
But your eyes, you saw that pipe and you were like, wow, that's cool.
Bruce came over. Bruce, I have a bar in my house. And
is it the Hawaiian theme?
It's got kind of a 70s Milwaukee kind of theme.
Nice.
And
he's got dollars. If Susan B. Anthony, some sort of dollars in acrylic on the bar, right underneath. So when guys start drinking and they're drunk, they're going to try and pick up these dollars and just break.
I'm not going to allow. It's not going to be open to the public.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just close friends. So he'll not be there. So Bruce would come by. Bruce comes by, brings a whole sack of stuff because Bruce is a pack rat and he has all these seltzer bottles from the 20s and ashtrays from Vegas. And it's great. He brings a whole sack of stuff over to the bar. One of them's a huge hookah pipe. And I'm like, where'd you get the hookah pipe? She confiscated it from a family member. And I'm like, what? And then Bruce supposed to be addiction medicine. He's like, what's hookah? What is this hookah? I said, it's pot or it's hash.
It
is.
I was testing you, Adam. It's actually more of a form of tobacco.
Hookah pipe is used to smoke.
Well, people
weed out of.
Is it the one that there? Is it the big
glass thing? And it's got.
And it's very popular right now. In like
high school
coffee
kids
houses.
Coffee
and
houses,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my stepdaughter had it. So it just sort of disappeared. Then she goes, "Where's my hookah pipe?" And I said, "It's at Adam." She goes, "Adam Kroll has my hookah pipe."
Yeah.
Sorry, Lauren.
No, but here's the thing. Maybe if you live in Bangladesh, you use it to suck hookah off of a tobacco. But if you're 16 and you live in the United States and you have a hookah pipe, use it to smoke weed out of.
You hear that, Lauren? That's what I was telling her. She's like, no.
Oh, please. You want to smoke tobacco? They got something called cigarettes. They invented them like 250 years ago.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm hip to that, Adam.
Okay. All right. Just as long as you're hip. So the point is I now have Bruce's stepdaughter's hookah pipe. And anything else you find, syringes.
You bring them over.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, those little heroin kits, or...
Botox.
Maybe just a little mirror and a razor blade and, straw. Whatever she's got, bring it on over.
Like the time I put Botox in Adam's forehead to make him stop sweating.
I'll use it. Didn't work.
Didn't work. He started to pass out on the air.
Jose, shut up.
Drew's going, keep going.
Pass out on the air. How dare you, Jose?
I've had anal sex and I passed out.
Bruce,
a couple
please,
times.
We have to go to the calls now. Jose?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, Mr. Personality. What's up?
Nothing. No, I had a question for Bruce.
All right.
I'm kind of like a bigger guy. Mm-hmm. And lately I've been lifting weights a lot, pumping iron, and I've been bulking up, and I want to know about tattoos. Like, if I got one right now, later on, would it stretch out and get deformed?
Mm. My mind went to the gutter when he said I'm a bigger guy.
Yeah,
mine too. But
me
too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't admit it. You know what? You have enough stretch in your skin and the density of the ink. If it's a professionally done tattoo, you're not going to have a lot of deformity of the tattoo. But, of course, mm-hmm. you know, if you're doing steroids and really bulking up, then, yes, you will have – it will start to look a little bit
– Well, also, it's where you get it, right? I mean, if you get it on the back of your neck, you're probably –
No, I mean, he's talking about a biceps tattoo, I would assume.
Well, I don't know. What are you talking about, Jose?
It's a full back.
Okay, well, anywhere you have muscle everywhere, and if you start bulking up in your back, but you'd really have to bulk up.
Yeah, what are you going to get? Are you going to get the traditional accordion? If you get the accordion, you're covered.
You're covered.
Yeah, that's my feeling. Yeah. What are you going to get, Jose?
No, I was thinking along the lines of, like, not really sure, you know, maybe dragon.
Dragon. Mm. Full back.
Well, it's not got a lot of scales. Yeah. That could work if you get big.
That seems ambitious for 17. Why don't you start off with it? Doesn't anyone get mother anymore?
I had a guy that had the word tattooed on. When
oh,
drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
Ironic.
Yeah, he was about 50 and vice president of some huge company.
And he had the word tattooed on him.
Yeah. He got drunk, went down.
I guess he could have put arm on it, too.
Yeah, he could have put something a lot where some people
get. Where do you get the tattooed?
Upper outer
the shoulder there.
FDLAPD is one of my favorites to remove.
Oh, really?
From the forehead.
Seen a few of those. Forehead?
Yeah.
Wow. It's nice when you get pulled over. Hey, Jose.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I would say. You're 17.
Yeah.
There's all right. Let me give everyone a quick talking to. Chris, you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. To
I know you're 29, but I have you sort of an honorary 17.
I'm 32 now.
I'm 32. Yeah. I have you as an honorary 17-year-old. So
okay.
You're included in all these speeches. Lives at home, goes to junior college. No, I'm not saying that.
Community college.
I'm not being pejorative here. I'm just saying he's young at heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
He is.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things a lot of ideas you have when you're 17, especially as a guy, but it is a girl, too, that thank God aren't permanent. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you could sign a deal with the devil, you would date somebody at 17 and you'd still be with them today, and that would probably be a mistake. You would drive the same car. Imagine if you could pick out the car you wanted to drive mm-hmm. at 17, you would have it your whole life, and you would immediately, like, you'd say, someone say, all right, I will give you this car, but you'll have to drive it for the rest of your natural life. Where do I sign?
Yeah.
I'd be driving a half track. You know, I mean, God knows what kind of crappy Pontiac Fire Arrow or something you'd be driving. You know
Chevrolet
what I'm saying?
Chevrolet Citation. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. Yes. But it would have to be a little bit nicer for you to do the where do I sign thing. But the point is you would do it with your hair. You would do it with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You would do it with your car. You would do it with a job. Someone, you know, if you could get this job, you'd be on a soap opera for the rest mm-hmm. of your life. You'd be like, oh, my God, I'm going to drive the Citation and have the two-stage mullet and work on a Days of Our Lives. Where do I sign? Thank God you can't sign anything because you grow up. You get a little more mature. You get a little education. You go, what was I thinking? You go back and look at a yearbook.
Why I haven't gotten a tattoo.
That's mm-hmm. the thing about...
I can't decide what I would want to have.
That's the thing about tats. They're very permanent. And if you make your move at 17, it could be just like that other thing you thought was cool at 17 that turns out not to be so cool. So my advice with any permanent stuff is just sit on it for a few more years and then make your move once the sort of your brain is dried.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or sit on it, put the tattoo on your ass.
Oh, put it on your ass.
I've removed some very...
Left cheek. I got one that says left cheek. See that? Yeah. All right. Should we take a... and, Bruce, you can remove tattoos, can you not?
Sure, yep.
With the laser?
Yeah, they can go to drbruce.com, of course, and send me an emailed message. I get lots of interesting emails.
How many sessions would it take?
It's an average of 8 sessions a month apart.
A month apart?
You have to have laser on your faggoty self.
Oh, Drew,
how dare
please.
You?
What the... Why month apart? Takes it time to recover?
The tattoo removal laser is fairly gentle. You don't mm-hmm. get bleeding. You don't mm-hmm. get a lot of trauma. But it's just breaking up the top layer of ink. Takes a month, 2 months to absorb those mm-hmm. broken up pieces of ink.
Right.
And then you do it again. And so it's like layer by layer by layer.
How many layers is a tattoo?
Well,
it depends.
It's about 8 to 12
like treatments. You go with that black star.
Yeah, the nautical stars, a lot of those are coming off, I'll tell you that.
But what about the black stars? Like, you know.
Oh, Lou Rawls would take
Lou
a while.
Lou Rawls. A lot of layers. Yeah, that's an expensive removal.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's 20.
Where if you went with, like, Truman Capote or something, wouldn't it be a big deal? You get that in 3-4 sessions, right?
The light wouldn't even touch it.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Chris, Truman Capote?
Yeah, I read his book back in high school.
Yeah, ooh, buddy. I'll tell you what that was. Let me tell you what Chris just did there.
That's good.
Chris went to the plate 3 or 4 times this game. He had a couple of strikeouts and then one where he tried to bunt and he did that chip right back to the pitcher where he caught it and he doubled this guy up over at first. Trying to, you know what that was?
Have you read the book, though?
That was, hold on a second, I'm giving you a compliment. Why is that? That was just solid, just a laser beam triple that went right down the line and just smacked the wall.
Then
it didn't never got more than 8 feet off the ground, but didn't skip before it hit the wall. Just pow, caromed into the corner.
Yeah,
that was a good stand up triple right there, buddy.
Cool, man.
That's a good day for you. No, I have not read the book. As you know, I believe reading poisons the mind.
Yes.
All right. He's back. All right, let's take a little break, shall we?
We shall.
All right, we'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Bruce. Breath of fresh air, Dr. Bruce. Always a good time. Brings his laser in here. Yeah. He's good.
When are we going to do some hair removal?
Yeah, soon.
Yeah.
Listen, I did that hair removal on my neck once because I was getting ingrown hairs when I shaved my neck or, I don't know, the bottom part of my, you know, where my Adam's apple is. And so they did it. I did it with that quack Dr. Marcel. He charged me full price, by the way. He's supposed to be a friend of the show. Jesus Christ.
He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. No, let me tell you something.
Drew's buddy.
Yeah. He's a good guy. But let me tell you something about these plastic surgery guys. A little bit creepy. Always a little. They got the tan and the pinky ring. They're kind of doctors, but not.
The bling bling.
They got a little bling bling.
There's a little used car salesman in there?
Here's a little. It's mostly used car salesman. Yeah, they're dicey guys. Let's face it. If they cared about people, they'd be podiatrists. But they care about money. But Marcel's a good guy.
Yeah,
I like him. Yeah, you know, I don't want to go camping with him, but I like him.
No.
Although he could have given me a break on the laser.
Jeez.
So he gave me the laser. He did they do the neck laser thing. And so because I shave, I get ingrown hairs in my neck. So they go, oh, you just laser your neck, and then the hair never grows back, and then you never get the ingrown hairs. Quiet, Bruce. Takes like 3... you know, treatments to do it. The hair fell out, hurt like hell. Then it came back, and ironically, when the hairs came back, they got ingrown because they fell out. You know, they were too deep now. It was just a disaster. It all grew back.
Did you do all 3 sessions?
Didn't do anything. I think I did 2.
Well,
yeah. Didn't do it. And then they're like, there's always, here's what it is. Whenever somebody has a treatment that doesn't really do anything, they always leave themselves an out. It's like, well, for most people, it's 2 or 3 sessions, but you never know. Yeah, see, the never know part? That's the infinity part.
It's 5 to 7 sessions for
you. Yeah, for most people, dark-haired people, is your mother black? No? Okay. For most Caucasians, you know, most of the time, again, there's no guarantees. Everyone's different. They just hide behind that. Nothing ever works.
You should have finished the 5 to 7 treatments, and the majority of people. I would have had
to mortgage my house.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Marcel, full price. I think he charged me extra. If he didn't know me, I would have got a better rate.
Well, you're probably razzing him the whole time.
Razzing him? You think he did it? Or do you think it's the coach, the female gymnastics wrangler from the Czech Republic.
Probably the Czech Republic.
You hold still, yes. No, stop whining. Put ice. Hold ice.
Well, at least you can burn somebody.
Hold still. Get in underwear. I'm working on my neck. Get in underwear! I was in my underpants.
Seriously.
I had to get down to my underpants. And, you know, I wear a banana hammock type. And I'm just saying, Major, I'm not just saying that for you, but that's, you know.
Yeah, a banana hammock.
Yeah, that's how I dress, you know. That's my thing.
That's sexy.
You know, my family, my dad's from Italy, you know. It's just the way we swing. That's all. That's all. I'm not saying it. I mean, I'm saying it, but it's because it's true, you know. It's not a full thong back.
Mm.
actually, not a full thong back. Creepier than thong back on a guy, ugh. I would say. It's not that's a full bad. Thong back. It's not a full thong back, but I'm not allowed to wear it on most beaches out here in the United States. Yeah, just put it that way.
Bad visual.
Eddie?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're good? You ready to go, buddy?
I'm ready to go, man. Let's
all right, go on. Go for Eddie.
Yeah, I'm right here. Are you here?
Yeah, copy.
10-4, 10-4, big buddy.
You're on, good buddy.
Copy that, Dr.
Cool,
copy.
Cool. I got a question about masturbation.
Good, copy that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I find myself doing it at least 5 times a day.
And that's affirmative. That's affirmative.
Affirmative, copy? 10-4. Affirmative. All right. I still have a girlfriend, so that's pretty sad, and I haven't discussed it with her because I don't want to make her feel like she's not cutting the mustard.
Yeah, that's a negatory rubber duck.
All right.
Rubber sheet.
Yeah,
rubber bib.
So, I don't know what it could be. I'm hoping it's not leading towards angry sex because, that doesn't look good on any resume or, like, any other, you know, conversation topic, but... It's been going on for about, like, 5 years. Mm. Like, I've been sexually active since 15, but...
Are there any abuse issues in your childhood, in your youth, your younger youth?
Actually, no. It's been pretty peachy keen.
Five times a day plus, you know...
That's minimal. It depends. It's like if I go, like, to the beach and I see, like, a bunch of hot chicks and or somewhere, then I'm like a chihuahua and I keep going. Mm. But other than that, it's...
I could slow them down on my modified thong.
Yeah, you'd slow them way down.
It's not technically a thong.
It might cause some permanent damage.
Yeah.
Quick answer to your question. There is something... There is compulsive sex. There are people that have issues around that. I would definitely talk to a therapist because there are a lot more questions than Adam's going to allow me to ask.
Well, why don't you just can you reel it in? Because if you can't,
sounds like he can't reel it in.
Can you go? What if you just limited yourself to 3 times a day? Do you think you could do that?
Well, I mean, I could control it to a point. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just
Yeah.
Like,
how does he find
my girlfriend's
time?
Doing the job and everything, and she's like hot and stuff. Well, she's not like Jessica Alba, but you know, hey.
Ask Adam. He's the expert in this area.
How dare
you? Yeah, you know, I mean, you do it and you're fine, you know.
Yeah, look at me.
Celebrity. You can probably, you know. So I think I just don't want anything happen. I don't want to, you know, lead.
All right,
to, like,
hold on. This is bogus.
It is.
Eddie, I don't believe you. I think full of crap. No, I really don't believe
it. I believe
the only
you,
thing that makes you not believe you more is when the I don't believe you gets answered with you don't believe me.
Well,
you don't believe me? Yeah. He's full of
that's
crap.
A fairly generic love line call.
Okay, here's the thing.
And that is a problem.
Whatever it is, if you're compulsed to do something and you can't stop, then you have a problem, then you need to get yourself checked out.
Right. And
that's all.
Seeing hot women and then feeling more compulsed to do it, I'm not sure how.
You know, when you're definitely pliable at 21 as a guy.
Yeah.
As a guy at 21, you know, you just see like a Mentos commercial or something like, oh yeah, look at her. Wow, what's that? Okay. Oh, that's right. It's a switch.
But to go into full arousal, I mean, he's in an intimate relationship. He's having sex a couple times a day, and then he's automatically aroused by seeing a woman's body in the same time. He sounds like he may have had some trigger set off by some sexual.
That was bogus. What are we speculating for?
But for people that have that issue, there are disorders.
Yeah.
That are described in that way by individuals.
So it seems like the lion's share of emotional or mental disorders manifest themselves with some sort of sexual behavior, right? Like it's sort of where. Where everything ends up getting channeled into the bedroom, whether it's on yourself or on your partner. Yes? Thank you.
Basic need.
Thank you, Ancient. Bruce, that's as good as agreement when Bruce just puts a puss on.
Yeah, but there's a lot of... good radio.
That's big affirmative,
I've heard it before.
Yeah, it's great radio.
But there is a lot of sexual abuse that occurs, and even inappropriate viewing of pornography at a very young age.
How are you going to, by the way, I tried like hell to get my hands on pornography from, you know, 0 to 18. Not much luck.
But especially from 0 to 8, 0 to 10.
You run across occasional penthouse or something back in the day, but how are you going to keep your kids off it these days? I mean, first off, who can't, work a computer. I mean, every, you know, people work that keyboard like Evelyn Wood. I don't know. She's a speed reader. Maybe she can type.
Access.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? I mean, like, what do you do with your 12-year-old, the 13-year-old? They're going over to their friend's house. It's like, you know, yeah, I mean, well, like, type 60 words a second. I
right, mean, it's more accessible, so there have to be more measures taken.
Oh, watch I mean, listen.
I watch my 8-year-old on the computer. You're right. But if you put some of the filters in there where they can't go to the sites.
I know, but that, I mean, obviously, you put up some you do what you do with everything. You get an alarm on your house, you put some bars up or something, but it doesn't, you know, if someone wants to get in, they get in.
Time.
Yeah, I mean,
they're exposed a lot more.
And what about this, too? It's like, you got a 12, 13-year-old son. He just, who's he into? Britney Spears? Oh, look at that.
It sounds unrealistic.
CelebritySkin.com. Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
Now, you know, they have these sexual predators on the computer that have bought up all the different versions of the way to spell Britney Spears. So if a kid goes on just to innocently look at Britney Spears, it directs them to a website of a predator.
Yeah. Bruce has that for his name. There's there's Bruce, B-R-U-S-S, and
that's
then there's
watch
I'll tell you one thing. Once you have kids, if you think of a predator, you just want
to strangle them.
You want to kill them.
Yeah.
Because you realize how innocent kids are, and what so for somebody to have sexual fantasies or want to hurt a child, once you have kids, then you can understand
ideas
of vengeance.
They can be cured with a few.
They can be
a couple of years in prison. I'll cure them, right?
Couple years in prison, like, and let the put them in the general population, like, and like, tell them what they did to those kids. They'll get what they deserve.
I like women, and if I went to prison for a few years, I'd come out. I wouldn't like women anymore. You wouldn't either, right? Like, I like a nice rack on a woman. You send me in the joint for 5 years, I come back, I learn my lesson. I'm not interested in that anymore.
Send those child molesters to prison.
Yeah, right. My whole thing let's put it this way. If, for some reason, if homosexuality was illegal, and it's just illegal, so we bust you for homosexuality and we send you to prison. Go think about what your cornholing ways for 4 years. When the guy gets out, he's hetero? He's straight? No, he's gay as he was when he went in. If you're a heterosexual guy who happens to like Asian women and you go to jail for some reason, you come out wanting more Asian women. Look, if you're into 9-year-olds, I think you're into 9-year-olds.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see that as more powerful than my love of the busty broads or the gay guy's love of the other man or the guy's love of the Asian women. That's your thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how guys are. They sort of have their thing. Thank God most guys are just into attractive women for the most part. But there's a lot of guys that are into young boys or young girls. And you sitting around for 14 months in the joint is not going to change that much. I don't see how it does. It probably, you know, I mean, you can tell someone what they're doing is wrong, but I don't think if you just make it, if you go, forget about pedophilia, you just go gay. I mean, you just do the analogy with the gay thing. Like, I like men, and society says, that's wrong. You shouldn't like men. We're going to make it a rule that you can't like men. Put him in jail. He's still going to like guys.
Well, I think, you just don't cure somebody of what their sexual orientation is. If your sexual orientation is to kids, then watch out.
I would argue it's more powerful than the other ones.
It is. You're right.
The deviant one is
absolutely
more powerful.
Therefore,
what?
Therefore, lock them on an island.
Island of Predators? Oh, this is an idea for a movie. Predator Island. Uh-huh. It's the year. Uh-huh. You know what the year is? 2025. We've created an island because these guys just repeat. They're repeat offenders. We can't do anything with them. But the ACLU and the liberal homos, they won't let us put them down. So we have an island, and we put the predators on this island. But here's what happens. And then, you know, it's like any, it's sort of Lord of the Flies with pedophiles. They just have, you know, leaders emerge. There's the worker drone pedophiles. But they're all on this island together. And they've all done wrong. And then a plane crashes. Plane of Cub Scouts. Plane of Cub Scouts crash onto Predator.
They might actually make a reality show of this.
Predator Island. Yeah. But these are Eagle Scouts on their way back from an Eagle Scouting thing in the Bahamas. You know, because they're very gauche these days. They really sold like some kerchiefs or something and raise some money. And they went to Bermuda this year. But the plane crashes.
Genius.
And Scoutmaster dies in the crash.
Go with it.
But the kids survive. But they're on Pedophile Island. And they know it immediately because they see the flag. When they, you know, the flag of the 45-year-old bending over a 9-year-old. And it's not a tasteful flag, but still I think it lets people know where they're at. And they land, and of course, these guys are hungry. It's been years since they've been with a young man. All they have is this rotting flesh on the island. And they're chasing. And the Cub Scouts, they have to use their skills.
To survive.
To survive. And there's, by the way, there's no merit badge for avoiding a pedophile. You have to think of that on the fly. Mm-hmm. And they're making, like, Burmese tiger traps, put sharpened bamboo and stuff. You know, they do that thing where the pedophile is chasing the guy. They use the one as bait. They use the cute blonde kid as bait.
Yeah.
And he's running. All the pedophile jumps and snared. Tree springs up. He's hanging upside down. And
they beat him with a stick. Cub Scouts. Who will survive?
We don't. Oh, you're asking me? I don't know.
No.
No, we're going to see.
You can't have anybody survive or it would be canceled.
Pedophile Island.
I think put
Cub Scout
further in the future
plane crashes on
with android robot boys so that when the molesters come, these things just turn on them and they blow their heads off. They just
No, that's horrible, Bruce. That's not. First off,
I'm sorry.
I think it's in poor taste. I don't think it's funny. Okay. I don't feel like you should be kidding about that.
I need to be punished.
I feel like we need to go to break.
You can punish me during break.
I want you to think about what you said.
Okay.
During the break. Yeah. And at the end, I'm trying to figure out what happens. They build a glider. They build a glider on the top of the mountain. There's a pedophiles. They're rushing up the mountain to get that, you know, because they're highly motivated at this point. You know, some of them have been there, you know, since the 70s. They're trucking up this mountain trying to get to this young flesh, and all this gust of wind comes. And you hear that music. They always make the same music when they actually start flying.
Uh-huh.
And they fly to an island in Bermuda, and then they're ironically raped when they land there by more pedophiles. It turns out these guys are all over the place. But they didn't. Different pedophiles didn't know these guys. But still, Pedophile Island. Maybe we get Stamos signed up for this. His agent probably wouldn't want him to do it. But
would he be the Cub Scout or would he be the pedophile?
I think. Here's what he would be. Because I don't think he would go. I don't think Stamos would go for being the actual pedophile.
No.
Here's what it is. He's the beloved Cub Scout leader who's injured severely in the plane crash. And he tells the young Cub Scouts, go without me.
He's
go.
He's
and
blinded
they're like,
in the
we're not leaving you. We're not. And they make like a tourniquet and a lean-to and a makeshift. What is that thing?
Gurney. Bruce?
Yeah, they make a makeshift gurney. That's not a gurney. It's
the walker thing.
Stretcher.
They make one out of bamboo and sheets, and they carry him with them. But he keeps saying, I'm too heavy. Leave me alone. And it's his spirit that moves the boys. Stamos
Does
would
he
do
die?
That.
And they have to take his revenge.
It's powerful. It's powerful because he weighs too much for the glider. But the boys insist he goes, and they use him as ballast on the glider, and it works. But this is an Emmy performance for Stamos because he's banged up bad the whole time, and he keeps begging the kids to go without him. And he does that thing where he leave me here, I'll hold off
Save
the pedophiles.
Yourself, go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Drew will want to be a medical consultant to that one.
Let's, you saying he's a pedophile? Okay, that's good. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. That's what I'm talking about. Machen Amick is here tonight. She is from ER, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, NBC. And also, a little something called Charles in Charge. Now, Jake in Progress. Which has my favorite, John Stamos, ABC. Mm. Yeah, that's coming up, so look for that. And one time, female cousin touched him. What the? Hold for 120 minutes. What the? Zach?
Yeah. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm a little upset.
Yeah. Your female cousin touched you when you were 9? She was 11?
Yeah, multiple times, too.
Multiple. And when you say touched, how, what's the furthest it went?
Well, she went as far as to where, I, of course, I was 9. I wasn't able to get it up yet. She would rub it on her vagina. She could, sometimes she would say, she said, say stuff, too.
All right. Well, here's here's the thing, Zach. Here's what I know. First off, it could be a subplot of Pedophile Island. But secondly, I'm sure she was abused by somebody. This is what happens, you know.
Yeah,
they get abused and then they act out.
I know. She was. She lost her virginity at 10.
Yeah, that's called getting raped. That's not losing your virginity.
Oh, I'm not sure if she was raped or not.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and call it rape anyway.
There's no such thing as consensual sex. At
yeah,
that age.
She probably was raped.
Yeah. You got to be 11, 11 and a half before that kicks
in. Yeah, she's got a kid already. And
perfect.
And she's pregnant again.
No, that's just shocking. Shocking.
Yeah.
That never happens in this society. Never.
Right. But what happened to you at that age, when you have sexual arousal that way at that age, it cross circuits your thinking and your emotions.
Yeah,
that's why I called to find out.
All right, but here's the thing, Zach. Don't walk around like you're damaged goods. You got quiet, Bruce. You got to get some help. We've heard much worse.
Doing this show.
I'm not saying what she did to you was nothing. I'm saying to you, it is. You can recover from this quite well.
This is not
your stepdad, you know, holding you down and sodomizing you. You will get past this, but you have to work on it a little. I'm moving along because we're out of time and you've been on hold for so long. So here's the beat, Zach. You're not damaged goods. Your cousin, who you're angry with, you should also have a certain amount of compassion for, because she was a victim as well, and probably victimized by somebody who was much older and not as gentle as she was with you. And then thirdly, get some help, get some therapy.
Good
do
work.
Your work. All Excellent. Right, thank you, Bruce. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's it, everybody. That's the show. Bruce.
Yep.
Nice work, buddy.
Thanks, Adam. No one shut my mic 5 times.
No, come on. I kid.
He didn't want to pay you past the 5 lines.
Yeah. You got Never to like has. You got yep. to like 9 tonight. But
yeah.
Machen, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You're a delight, I must say. And everyone can watch ER on NBC 10 o'clock. On Thursday nights, and check out Jake in Progress on ABC with our dear friend John Stamos. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
Adam Carolla has my hookah pipe.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.